bow for prayer. Father God, I just want to pray, especially for Richard this morning, Lord, that he can share and that he can bring forth the word, Lord, as he's struggling with a sore throat. Lord, just want to bless him, help him to just give him strength, Lord, as he shares. And bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, John. It's good to be here again this morning with you at Wohlensdorf, and I bring you greetings in the precious name of the one that we were singing about. That's Jesus Christ. Durbin asked me to just share a little update before I get into the message, so I'll do that. I think most of you know that we have decided to purchase the building there, the church building, and the association has agreed to sell it to us for $75,000. Earlier, we had made an offer of $60,000 to them. That's what we had in savings, and we thought maybe they would take it. But they chose not to take it. When we first started the negotiations, we had got it appraised, and it was appraised at $125,000. So they felt like $75,000 is giving us a good deal, and it probably is. So we've decided to take them up on that. At present, we have $68,000. And I talked to Dale last week. Dale is the one that's in charge of the association, is the chairman of the board, Dale Richards. And he said they don't want to sell it till the beginning of the new year. They would like to have the not in this 2016. So that works out well. So we have about $7,000 yet we need to have all the money in hand to be able to purchase a building. We'd really like to do it debt-free. That's our goal. And just pray with us. We are excited about being able to purchase a building. I think it's going to serve our purpose. It has served our purpose in the past 3-4 years. It's hard to believe it's 4 years already. This spring it'll be 4 years that we've started there. And we're averaging around 80 attendance, give or take a little there. So God's been good, and we're excited to see what God will continue to do there in Fredericksburg as we minister to him, for him. So thank you for partnering with us. We do deeply appreciate it. I just want to express my appreciation to all of you, and it's just a great thing to have us. Congregation that stands behind us and helps us to accomplish what we feel God's calling us to do. A couple months ago, I was in Lebanon and was there at Home Depot parking lot. I was waiting for, had an appointment, I think at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, and it was not quite 12 o'clock, so I had some time to kill. And I was sitting there in the parking lot and just kind of minding my own business, you know how us guys do, right? And it was in the summertime, so I had my window down, and this pickup truck come pretty aggressively up right beside me. And he said to me, are you from around here? And it kind of, you know, he was pretty aggressive, and so I was like, what's this guy up to? I mean, it just seemed like he was, you know, really kind of guy that's in your face type of guy. And I said, well, you know, kind of. I didn't want to get too kind of from around here. I said, what's up? He said, well, I need some directions. I said, okay, where do you want to go? And he said, heaven. And it kind of took me back. I said, heaven, that's right. I want to go to heaven. Can you tell me how to go there? I said, I sure can. You need to repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your life to save you. And you'll go to heaven. He said, have you done that? This guy's really good. I said, yes, I have. He said, good. He said, tell somebody about Jesus today. And he drove off. That's an interesting way of sharing the gospel. A little different than probably most of us would do, but it's one way to do it. He got my attention. And I have not tried that technique, but if God ever lays it on your heart to try that technique sometime, go ahead and try it. This morning I'd like to talk about the gospel. We were singing this morning some beautiful songs, and I just was blessed. It was great. And the Christmas pageant coming up, and this is a time of the year that we talk about Christ's birth. And this morning I'd like to share what is the gospel. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, and that'll be my text from 1 to 8. Myron Augsburger was a professor at EMC years and years ago. And Myron said that there's three G's that take people around the world. Does anybody want to guess what those three G's are that take people around the world? Do anyone want to guess? Three G's. The word starts with a G. Well, one of them should be what? The gospel, yeah, that's one. The gospel takes people around the world. Another one.
Gold,
yeah. Truly, you're good. Did you hear this before? Okay. Gold. Okay, and another one. Did somebody said something? God? Is that what you said, God? Yeah, okay. That would be gospel, similar. When I was over in Spain a couple weeks ago, my wife and I were there to visit the team with Alan and Carolyn, and when I was sharing, I shared this there, and one of the guys said, girls. I said, no, well, it's not, maybe, yeah, I don't know, but that's not one of Myron said. So it's the gospel, gold, and there's one more, glory. Yeah, who said that? Okay, good, yeah, darling. The gospel, gold, and the glory. And so this morning I'd like to look at the gospel. What is the gospel? When we say, you know, I often hear people come into the shop at up the shop when I shouldn't say often, quite once in a while, somebody when they're saying something, they'll say, now this is the gospel truth. Have you ever heard that? This is the gospel truth. What are they saying? I think what they're saying is what they've said or what they're going to say is true. It's the gospel truth. And when they say that, I often, you know, start getting, you know, is this, why do you have to say it's the gospel truth? But anyway, so the gospel truth is shared. And we all know in the scripture, the first four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call them the gospels. And that's true. So what is the gospel? In Romans, before we read our text, just a couple of things here on the gospel. In Romans 1, verses 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of what? The gospel. Let's say it again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul is saying here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And that's a powerful thing. As I was studying this and thinking about this whole thing of the gospel, how often am I ashamed of the gospel? And I don't share the gospel like I should. But Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of it because it's the power of Christ unto salvation. Another term for the gospel that we often use is what? What's another term for the gospel that we often use? It's the what? It's the word? The good news. Yeah, the good news. The gospel is the good news. And it truly is the good news. So Paul is telling us not to be ashamed of it. And in 1 Timothy 1:11, Timothy is saying, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Timothy is calling the gospel the glorious gospel. It's the glorious gospel. And I'm not sure why sometimes, if you're like me, we struggle with sharing the gospel. We're ashamed of it. Or I'm not sure what it is. We're scared. But it's the good news of Christ. It's the glorious gospel that we have. It's the answer for the problem in the world today. We have that. So why aren't we sharing it? Well, hopefully this morning I can encourage you in sharing the gospel. And that comes in all different forms. And it's there's so many ways to share the gospel that all of us have. And I think that sometimes it may be going door to door. Sometimes it may be just giving a listening ear or a smile. I think I've said this before, but, you know, we live there along 645 and we drive up through. When I go to work, I drive past the truck stop there, and it's hardly without exception when you go 645 there at 78 that you have to stop because trucks are pulling out. Sorry about truck drivers here, but that's the reality. They pull right out in front of you, and we do the same. So, you know, it's a two-way street. But it's amazing how often, and I've tried, when a truck will pull out in front of me like that, and I got to stop, you know, and I'll go like that, just wave to him and give him a big old smile. And he looks at me like, what is wrong with that guy? Something must be wrong. But that's not usual. That's not normal. And there's so many ways. And I would bet that guy the rest of the day is just scratching his head and saying, what was wrong with that guy? Or but there's many ways that we can share the gospel, that we can be the light, the shining light to the world that we live in. And allow God to use it in whatever way it may be. There's just so many ways. But be available to share the good news of Christ to the world. A couple months ago, I was down in Myerstown at a hydraulic shop there, Lapps Hydraulic, just right close to Warner's, Wanger's. And I went in there for some parts. And Timmy is probably 30 years old. It's one of the boys to the owner of the. Some of you might know Timmy, if you've been in there at the Lapps Hydraulic, and he's handicapped, manually handicapped. He can talk a little, and sometimes you can understand him, but I was so blessed. I was in there, and when there was about three of his customers there, and here comes Timmy from out behind the counter in his little mongoloid way, and just. He had a pen, and he had a track. And he went over to the one guy there, and he said, "It's a pen." And the guy took it, and then he gave him the track, and he said, "It's about the gospel. It's about the gospel." And I was just like, wow, this guy is amazing. It's about the gospel. So what is the gospel? Timothy says it's the glorious gospel. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of it." So what is the gospel that we're talking about here? The gospel defined is the teaching and revelations of Jesus Christ. And if you look, all through the gospels, it talks about the life of Christ. And that's what the gospel is. It's the teaching and revelation of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1-8, it gives us the definition, four definitions of the gospel, and I'd like you to open your Bibles now, and we'll want to read this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 1 to, I think I'll read to 8. 1 Corinthians 15. This 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is talking here to the church and is giving them all kinds of instructions. He talks about the gifts. He talks about just a lot of things. The end of verse 14 of chapter 14 there in verse 40, it says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." So he's talking to the church and giving them instructions on how to run the church. And then in 15, he goes and he talks about the gospel. So that's what we want to look at this morning. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Verse 3. "I deliver unto you first of all that which I have received of that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." Verse 4. "And he that was buried And he arose again the third day according to the scripture. Verse 5, and all that he was seen of Cephas and them of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, and whom the greater part remained unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Father, this morning, would you take the word that is before us here and bring clarity to our minds so that we can truly comprehend what the gospel is. We thank you for Jesus and for the provisions that he had made for us on the cross. And Father, this season that we're in, I just pray that it would be a means of strengthening our faith and encouraging us, and the Father, that we truly would be willing to share the good news of Christ to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Here in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the gospel. And I think this portion of Scripture is the gospel in a nutshell. The gospel is talked about in the Old Testament. In fact, I think they say, depends on which translation you have, but in the New Testament, the word gospel is mentioned almost 100 times. So it's something that is talked about a lot in the New Testament. And it's also in the Old Testament. But Paul is talking about the gospel here. And he says in verse 1, Paul says that I declared unto you the gospel. That's my passion. I declared unto you the gospel and preached unto you, he says there in verse 1, that ye have received it, and thereon ye stand. And I think what Paul is saying here, I have preached the gospel, and I had declared it to you with power and with strength. And he's saying that's what you must stand on. The gospel is what you must stand on. If you try to stand on anything else besides the gospel, you ain't going to do it. The gospel is what we need to stand on as Christians, as Christ followers. This is where we must stand. Then in verse 2 he goes on, it says, It is how we are saved. It's by the gospel that we are saved. And that's what we are, how we are saved, by the gospel. So he's just again reminding us that it's the gospel that we are saved. And then in verse 3 he goes, for what I received I passed it on to you as the first important. One of the other translations in this verse, it said it's the utmost important. In other words, the gospel is the most important thing for us to understand. And Paul is trying to impress on his people that you've got to get this. You've got to get it. The gospel is the important thing. Then in verse 3, we see the definition that Paul uses to explain the gospel. And that is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Let's say that together, everybody. Here we go. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. The gospel defined is Christ dying for our sins according to the Scripture. Christ, as the sinless Son of God, took the punishment for sin so that those who believe can have their sins removed. Christ's death on the cross was no accident or afterthought. It has been a part of God's plan from the beginning. Well, there was no beginning with God, but it was part of God's plan that this would take place in order to bring salvation to all who would believe. As I was looking this whole thing up, the studying this on the gospel, I went to Google it online, and Ken Ham, some of you know Ken Ham, most of you have been to the Creation Museum out there, and he has a thing that he talks about what he thinks the gospel is. And I thought it was very interesting to me what Ken had to say. And I'd like to just read a little insert of what Ken said here about what the gospel. He says, this is Ken Hahn, and I quote, Ken Hahn says, the gospel is the good news. But to understand the good news, you must first understand the bad news. And the bad news is that Adam rebelled and sinned, as recorded in Genesis. This is the foundation necessary to understanding the meaning of sin and the gospel. I think Ken's right on. I really do. If you don't believe that Genesis and that the fall of man happened there in Genesis, you don't need the gospel. So I think that's foundational to understand the gospel, is that we need to understand and we need to believe that Adam sinned. And if Adam wouldn't have, we would have. So we're a fallen people, and because we're a fallen people, we need the gospel. So I believe that this truth is foundational knowledge in understanding the gospel. He goes on to say that understanding the foundation aspect of the gospel in Genesis is a vital key to unlocking the powerful method of evangelism to reaching the world for Christ. I have not tried this, but I would love to. I think it would be a beautiful way to share the gospel is to just ask somebody, do you believe Genesis is true? And it would open the door to, and I think in some countries especially where they have no understanding of the scripture, you'd have to start here, because there's no way you could share Christ if they don't think they need it. I mean, if they don't think their sinners are lost. So I think it is foundational, and I think it's a good place to go to ask people if they understand or if they believe Genesis and the basic foundation principles there. All right, so the first thing is that Christ died for the sins according to the Scripture. And I think it's no mistake that Paul puts in here according to Scripture. I think that's important that's there. The second thing is he was buried. That's what it says in there, that Paul says that he was buried. He's talking about the gospel. He says he died and he was buried. So let's again start with the first one and say the first together, and then we'll go into the second one. Say that. Ready? Starting at number one, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and he was buried. Many have tried to discount the actual death of Christ, but Jesus did in fact die and was buried in a tomb. Again, a very essential part of understanding the gospel is to realize that Christ did die and that he was buried. And Paul is making it very clear, I think, here with the gospel for us to understand. The third thing is that he arose on the third day according to Scripture. Again, you see Paul's using that same thing according to Scripture, what it says in Scripture. The reason we believe the gospel is that he rose the third day according to Scripture. The resurrection, this morning I was doing a little study, and I found it very interesting that the resurrection is a historical fact. In other words, it's historians believe that it's a fact that Christ died and rose again on the third day. If we didn't believe the Scripture, it's a historical fact that Christ died. And sometimes I think we have to prove everything, but Christ said, by faith are you saved through grace. Christ was risen from the grave on the third day. Forever his Father raised him from the dead on the third day according to the Scripture. In Psalms 16, it talks about the same thing. In the Old Testament, it talks about Christ's resurrection. He's going to be raised from the dead. The fourth thing is that he was seen by many. Now, why does Paul say that? That part of the scripture, or part of the gospel, is that he was seen by many. And then he goes on to say he was seen by 500 brethren, and he was seen by James and all the apostles. And I couldn't understand why he mentioned James's name here, his brother, that even James seen him. Until later, as I was studying about this, you know, James did not believe in Christ until after the resurrection. James was a brother of Jesus, and he did not accept Christ as the Messiah until after the resurrection. And I believe it's interesting to me. I mean, I think it's that's why Paul has it here, because James's belief in God after the, or in Christ after the resurrection. In fact, James was a very powerful leader in the Church of Jerusalem, and his death was a result of him confessing that Jesus is the Messiah. The Jewish leaders were not happy with James saying that Jesus is the Messiah, and they actually took him up onto a high pedestal in the temple. And if you in scripture in James it talks about this, and they said, James, what we want you to do is deny that Christ is the Messiah. And so he went up in this high place in the temple and was looking out over the people. And he said, in fact, he did just the opposite. He said, Christ is the Messiah and has died and rose again, and he's the Savior of the world. And it made him so angry that they pushed him out over the that pedestal he was standing on, and he fell to his his death. Scripture says that somebody came along and finished him off with a club. But James died because saying that Christ is the Messiah. So the resurrection, or the gospel today defined is, let's read these four together. All together, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried and rose again, okay, according to Scripture. And he was seen of many. Ken Davis is a well-known speaker that I'm sure most of you have heard. He tells a story about at a camp when he was a boy. I think it was when he was a boy. At a children's camp when he was there. And one of the campers that was there was a boy that was mentally handicapped. And the gospel was presented. And this little fellow, in his mind, he understood. And it says, Ken says, after the meeting, that he could be heard going down through the walkways, and this is what he was saying: good news, good news, good news. He understood that he had the good news. It is good news. The gospel is good news to all of us. The central truth of the gospel, this is powerful. If you want to write anything down, I'd say, you know, write this down. This is really powerful. I should have wrote, this is not original with me. I should have wrote who wrote this. But the central truth of the gospel is that God has provided a way of salvation for all men through the gift of his Son to the world. We're talking about the gospel here this morning. He suffered as a sacrifice for sin, overcoming death, and was now offered to share in his triumph to all who will accept it. The gospel is good news because it is a gift of God, not something we can or must earn. I really think that says it well of what the gospel is and explains it well there. And folks, this morning, as Christians, if you're here this morning as a believer in Christ, you have experienced the good news, the gospel. We need to be sharing that good news to those around us. The gospel takes people from death to life, from darkness to light, from no hope to hope, from bondage to freedom, and from being lost to being found. That's what the gospel does, if we truly experience it. When my wife and I were over in Spain this a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago, I guess we're back now. As we were walking the streets there in one of the cities of, what was the name of that city where Marvin's lived, Almadilla? I can't, you have to twist your tongue to say the names of the city, but it was a city where Marvin Kings are living in, there in Spain, and it's full of Moroccan people that are from North Africa that are living there in Spain as migrant workers. They're working in the greenhouses. As we were walking the streets there with Marvin, Marvin was trying to find some friends of his and to talk with him. I was just overwhelmed of the dark. I mean, they're so close. They believe in Muhammad and they don't believe in Jesus. But Jesus is the good news, is the gospel truth that they're longing for. But there's so much darkness, and it's so hard to break that bondage of darkness that they're covered in. So we just need to pray. I think I would encourage you to pray for those missionaries that serve over there in those countries. It's a difficult thing. You know, I say in a lot of ways, our upbringing affects how we live out, how we live, our worldview. And the majority of the Muslim people, I mean, it's they grow up and they are so conditioned, and it's with almost a gun pointed to their head, that if they turn from their Muslim religion to Christianity, they're dead. And so it's a fear driven religion that's just horrible, and it has caused huge darkness and bondage, and it's just hard to understand how they just refuse the gospel, and I think so much of it is because of the fear driven that they have grown up on, and they know that if they refuse, and most of them, they know it's not, I mean, there's nothing there, and it's empty, and it's hollow, and it's a, but yet they cannot break that bondage. So let's pray. I mean, I think we all thank God that we have the privilege to grow up like we did, and to be able to experience the gospel, and let's not take it for granted. In 1 Thessalonians 1-5, Paul says, For our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men ye were among you for your sake. So Paul is saying here again, the gospel came unto you not only in words, but it came to you in power and in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So we have power as God's people to share that gospel to the world around us. In Ephesians 6:19, Paul says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth," what? Boldly. "That I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel." Would God help us as His children to open our mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel? You know, I think there's a tendency for us as Anabaptists, growing up, most of us grew up in Anabaptist world, is to live your faith. Okay, that's what we're told. We need to live it out. It needs to be shown by our life, and it does. It does. We can't deny that. But Paul's saying here that we need to open our mouth and proclaim the gospel. We just can't live it. We need to open our mouth and be bold and proclaim, make known the mystery of the gospel. A number of years ago, I was in Ohio and sharing there with a congregation, and there was two boys there that one of the ladies from the congregation was taking care of. And again, they were, I don't know why all my stories this morning are around that, but anyway, they were handicapped and were, you know, it's sometimes hard to understand how much they understand it. But after I had shared that one evening, I had used the story of, I have a little trap that I had found in one of my travels when I was lost with the airplane and found this little trap. And I used that as an illustration how God had showed me that people are caught in a trap, and that God wants to use us as his children to press that trap and to open it so that people can be released from bondage to freedom. And I had shared that with the congregation, and that old rusty muskrat trap was just pretty special to me because of, you know, it was one of those special times where I sensed God just really ministering to my heart in a special way there. And afterwards, came up to me and he said, "Can I hug that trap?" And I was like, "Well, I really didn't want to give it up." And I said, "So, why do you want it?" He said, "Well, this is why. That trap reminds me of my sins and that Christ will free me from my sins." I said, "You may have that trap." And I gave it to him. And afterwards, the lady that was taking care of him came up to me and she said, "Here's your trap. I don't know why he has your trap, but here's back." And I shared with her what he said, and she couldn't believe it. She was like, "You got to be kidding. He understands." I said, "That's what he told me." And I said, "I want him to have that trap." So he kept. And just the other last MEW we were at, I was talking to the minister there at the church, and he said, I was sharing with him about this, what I said. He said, "You know, we just baptized him a couple Sundays ago, and you know, it's such a beautiful thing, the power of the gospel. And we have all that, we have that available to us. And are we doing our part in sharing the gospel to the world that we live in?" Father, this morning, thank you for the gospel. Thank you that it is a power unto salvation to all that we believe. And it's a free gift that you give to us. Lord, would you give us the strength to share the gospel in whatever way you would have us to do it. Help us to be willing and open, that we would pray for divine encounters. And I just ask your blessing upon this congregation, especially tomorrow and Tuesday as to share the pageant. Father, would it be done with boldness and enthusiasm, and that people could see and that they would hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ for your glory. And everybody said, "Amen."